Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. You know, we would love to hear from you. So send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And today, we are very excited to have back with us Deacon Gerard Marie Anthony, and he has dedicated his diaconate to helping people to know the love of Jesus and Mary, especially through prayer and the Most Blessed Sacrament. And he's here today to talk about a beautiful book that he's authored, Peaceful Hearts, Zealous Hearts. And you know, in the transformation of our hearts, we want them to be peaceful and zealous. You can go out to his website. It's jmjgerardmarie.com, jmjgerardmarie.com. You know, and there is this longing for all of us to have peaceful hearts and hearts that are set on fire. But you know, every day we have to pray, Lord, that you would remove blindness from our eyes, deafness from our ears, darkness from our minds, and also hardness from our hearts, so that our hearts could be full of mercy, that they could be holy, that our hearts would be sacred and divine. I mean, those beautiful words of just the longing and the wanting and the comfort. I mean, I used to always say this, I always want to be a pleasing child to the heart of Jesus. And we as a people of God need to keep our ear close to God's heart. And then we have to obey what he speaks in those beautiful ways. And that's the journey for me for holiness. Also, decreasing my vices, increasing my virtues, and that's the way of my holiness as I go, right?
It's an absolutely beautiful work that Deacon Gerard Marie Anthony has put together, Peaceful Hearts, Zealous Hearts. We look forward to him unpacking this more fully. As I mentioned, I said, well, you're a spiritual cardiologist, and he really is. He's really entered into these truths and is trying to express them to other people that we might know the joy of the heart of God, his love for us, love for him, and then pouring out that love to all that we meet. Mm. We'll be right back. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we're excited to have with us Deacon Gerard Marie Anthony from the Diocese of Arlington with us today. He's authored a great book, Peaceful Hearts, Zealous Hearts. Well, Deacon, we want you to tell our family in authoring, when you wrote this book, what were you trying to accomplish? And tell our family the format of the book.
So basically, I want to put it, because I love our Blessed Mother, and we've just experienced the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. So I want to use a Lourdes analogy for the formatting of my book. First, you know that St. Bernadette, she was digging a well, and springs came up. What happened at first? St. Bernadette was able to see herself. We have to image God. And in Hebrew, there's a word for imaging, all right, which is selim. When you image God, that's where we should be, where we're imaging God. We're made in his image and likeness. So first we have to see ourselves. That's the first part of the book, which is the scriptural part. So we know the image that we're supposed to look like. But then, just like with Bernadette, there was mud. People were making fun of her and mocking her. So we see things that might be imperfect in us that doesn't match up with the image. That's the next part of the book. How are these devotions helping us to see how we don't image God? But then the last part, and this is the big part of it, the healing. Mm-hmm. When we realize what doesn't match up with God's image and God's dream for us, then we can wash with the waters that come out of the Lord's heart in his divine mercy. And then we can enter into his heart. Then we can be cleansed and made new. That's the complementarity of it. Mm. So that we can see the image of God that we're supposed to, then we're supposed to see how we don't match, and then how we're cleansed and healed and made new. Mm-hmm. That's the format of the book. Yeah. And we thank Our Lady of Lourdes for that.
And your chapters, the work of God through the heart of God, the heart of God in Scripture, which we want to get into pretty soon here, the heart of God in history, devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, devotion to the Divine Mercy, bringing devotions together, that complementarity there to make us new, consolation in prayer and activism through mercy. And you kind of summed that up somehow in Our Lady of Lourdes and Saint Bernadette. So let's get into the Holy Scriptures and the heart of God in Scripture.
Yes. So it's interesting, when we first hear about the heart, the literal word heart in Scripture, we hear about it in Genesis chapter 6. And it's interesting, because this is around Noah's Ark. And it says, God looked at all of human, and he was grieved to the heart. Mm. What do you do for someone who's grieving? You console them. Mm-hmm. You comfort them, right? So this starts this consolation of God's heart. Right. But eventually God has to get a heart through the incarnation. Right. So when Jesus, as John Paul would say, it's the human face of God and the divine face of man, he's also the human heart of God and the divine face of man and the divine heart of man, right?
Right.
So we have this consolation, and when we see him, he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke 22, and he is strengthened by the angel. The angel, in this revelation, one of them, the Thursday night devotion to the Sacred Heart, it was believed that he was carrying our prayers to comfort the Lord. Because time, you have past, present, and future, which is called chronological time. But then you have something called chorotic time. This is like a circle. So in a circle, they always, in order to get through the center part, you have to go through the center. That center of the circle of time is Jesus Christ. So whether in that circle you're in 10,054, 33 AD, 2025, you always have to go through Christ. Mm. So Christ can not only bring his merits to us in any point in time, but we, through our prayers, especially on Thursday nights when he was in the garden alone at 11 o'clock, we can bring him consolation. Mm. And therefore he gets a little jump saying, yes, I know that some of the people are going to appreciate what I'm about to do for them. And that's amazing to think that you can console the heart of Christ in that way. And this was what was revealed to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque in the Thursday night holy hour.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
And the beautiful of desiring, you know, like you as human beings, like you said, we want to reflect the image. When we have the mud on our face and the sin on our souls, that we come to the mercy of God, that we would be cleansed and delivered and set free and be made new.
Yes.
And then go and tell somebody.
Yes.
Right? Then we have to, and then live differently, love differently, be differently, and then be a child of God as one that reflects his ways, his image. And you want to be a pleasing child to him. I mean, you know, we have four kids, you know, some of them weren't always pleasing children all the time. And it would weary your parents' heart. Right?
Yes.
Because you want love them unconditionally as God does us, but it would injure your own heart.
Yes.
And the last thing that we want to do as a people of God is injure our Father's heart.
Yes.
And so these beautiful devotions, the cleansing and the clearing and the knowing and the reviving and the EKG to our own souls to make us new again. Now, how does the Sacred Heart and the Divine Heart complement each other? How did they do that?
Well, so this is interesting. You've been talking about the Scripture too. We go back to Genesis again, where we look at the fall. Adam and Eve were made in perfect harmony with one another, but also in perfect harmony with God, right? That's the goal. But what happens when they fall? The serpent comes up to Eve and he says, did God really say that you can't eat the fruit? And he says, Eve says, he said that we can't eat it nor touch it, lest we die. Now, Eve actually added on to God's word there, right? So this first part of original sin is we're deciding what's good and evil.
Right.
True, right? And that's the devotion to the Sacred Heart, because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life in John 14:6. But then also, they started to doubt God, a lack of trust in God's fatherhood. That's the second effect of original sin. And that's where the divine mercy comes in. Mm-hmm. So it's countering the effects of original sin. That's one way that they complement one another. Another way that they complement one another is some of the heresies that they address. The Sacred Heart addresses the Jansenist heresy. Mm-hmm. The Divine Mercy addresses the Modernist heresy. And what was happening with Jansenism was basically this was a heresy that was saying, nobody's worthy of God's love, and you have to be the perfect person in order for God to love you. Mm-hmm. Jesus himself says, no, look, I'm going to answer this personally myself, giving the devotion to the Sacred Heart. And he says, you, I love you. I give you all access to my heart, not because you deserve it, but because I love you and I pour my mercy out upon you. Then you have modernism, where it's basically talking about, well, we can put our trust in everything, science, you can have governments, things, money, you name it. But you lose your trust in God. Mm-hmm. This is why in the divine mercy image, you see at the bottom, Jesus, I trust in you. Mm-hmm. The modernist heresy basically says, trust in everything but God. Mm-hmm. So another way that they complement one another. But now here's the interesting thing. Those heresies also come under new names. Jansenism. This is now what we call cancel culture. You only see people for what's bad in them. You don't see them for what's good in them. Mm-hmm. But God doesn't see us like that.
Right.
Right?
Nor does he cancel us.
Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's very important. Mm-hmm. So the Sacred Heart also confronts this cancel culture, this new neo-Jansenism, right? But also with the neo-modernism, where it's saying, okay, look, being able to trust in everything except for God, this is now secularism. Mm. Right? We're saying, hey, no, we can't do that. All right, so they also complement one another in combating modern heresies. But then also the consolation, that's the big thing, the way that they complement one another. The Sacred Heart was to console the heart of Jesus. In divine mercy, Jesus consoles his mystical body, the hearts of man. Mm-hmm. Together, Christ the head, Christ the body is consoled. The totus Christus is consoled. And that means that all of Christ is made new, made at peace, meaning in harmony with one another, mm-hmm. so that they can have the zeal to go out, make disciples of all nations and change the world.
Right. And the beautiful thing of being in this modern day, when we get to talk to the culture that is believe the lie, because all the enemy does is lie to us. Like, you don't have to trust in God. You don't, all of your energy should be in what you acquire, what you can do, and pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, and it's all about you.
Yes.
And that makes us null and void of God. And that's the same thing that happened in Genesis as it's happening in 2025 today.
Exactly.
And you think, oh, we've come so far. Well, have we really? It's the same game, yes. Right? I mean, God is longing to be in relationship with us, and the devil is at war, keeping us from being in intimate union with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
You do have a page 91 in your book that kind of breaks this down, the Sacred Heart and Divine Mercy. And then you go to, you know, about worship, basis for each, but you get into their heresies that each one of them confront, poisonous attitudes. And I really like that one,
because
we face this all the time in a pregnancy medical center. You do, especially with the women that are coming to us, other guys, because you say that the Sacred Heart confronts merely spiritual.
Yes.
And Pharisaical.
Yes.
And we just see so many people come to us and they say, yeah, I'm spiritual. Yeah, I'm spiritual. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Well, you know, and God understands if I abort this child, and, you know, they're spiritual. They're not really centered in Christ, in the Holy Trinity, the moral teaching of the church. You're saying the Sacred Heart combats that. And then Pharisaical. Some of them, their relationship is just totally Pharisaical. They don't understand the Lord's desiring of deep intimacy with them. You know, I don't know the exact quote for this, but one of the visions that Mary Alicote had, St. Mary Alicote, mm-hmm. she said that the Lord appeared to her and displayed his heart and said, look mm-hmm. at the heart that has always loved you.
Yes.
And if we hear that,
yes.
You know, the heart of Christ, get the heart of Christ. I'm going to take out of you the heart of stone.
Exactly.
I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. That Jesus has a beating flesh heart as well as divine heart.
Yes.
And this also combats, you know, Gnosticism. And,
yes.
And, you know, that it's both flesh and divine.
Yes. And, yeah, you've put that beautifully. And when you look at the heart of Christ, when you're talking about the spiritual and the Pharisees, you have to remember, a heart, what happens if it doesn't beat? Mm-hmm. It dies, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So being able to just be able to have a relationship with God, being spiritual, yeah. you have to do something with that. You can't tell somebody you love them, but then you don't do anything,
right?
But then at the same time with the Pharisees, kind of like what you're saying, you can't just do the actions without a heart.
Mm.
We've all had people, you know, hopefully many of your viewers haven't, but someone can shake your hand and sell you a lemon for a car. There's no heart behind it. Or someone says, hey, how are you doing? And they could care less, mm. right? Both of those are extremes. Jesus says, no, you must do things, but you must do them with heart. Because that's how God did it. He says, look, I love you so much, I'm even going to take on flesh so that you know it's not spirituality,
yes.
just being spiritual mm-hmm. or being pharisaical. My heart will beat for mm-hmm. love of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, even for one of the other examples, when we go to the liturgy, mm-hmm. when you take the solemnity of the Sacred Heart, when we have this dialogue, God says, why a solemnity? Why take in Mass? Because every time we go to Mass, we'll say this, our hearts are renewed. Mm-hmm. The Lord says, and we say this in the Mass dialogue, the Lord be with you and with your spirit. Lift up your hearts,
mm-hmm.
not to the world, not to the flesh, but lift them up to who?
The Lord.
Lord. Right?
The Lord.
This is the key to peace and zeal. And then I love the last line in the dialogue at Mass. It is right and just.
Mm-hmm.
It is right that we stop lifting our hearts to things that will degrade us.
Mm-hmm.
It is just, we owe that to justice, to ourselves, but also more important to God, because God wants us to have zeal
mm-hmm.
and to have fire and to live abundantly.
See, that's very definitive. I'm just more spiritual.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break at this point. We're holding you over. Deacon Gerard Marie's book is Peaceful Hearts, Zealous Hearts. Go to EWTNRC.com and get it. It'll be just a beautiful read and will deepen your spirituality and love for the Lord and for his people. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, now we are wrapping up our beautiful conversation with Deacon Gerard Marie Anthony, and we want you to explain to our family how the beautiful devotions of Divine Mercy and Sacred Heart connect us to the Blessed Sacrament.
The Blessed Sacrament is the heart of the love of the Father. And so in these devotions, they both bring us back. As we were just talking about in the Sacred Heart, with the Sursum Corda, where we lift our hearts up to the Lord, that's reminded of us in every Mass, but also with Divine Mercy. In the image, we see that Jesus is taking a step forward. This is what the Lord does at every Mass. He brings us back to the cross, where love was revealed in its fullness, and says, I want you to be with me at the point where you know that I'm willing to die for you so that you know your value. So you know you can trust me in the Divine Mercy, so that you know that your heart can be set afire. And this is what happens when we lift our hearts up to the Lord.
That's good.
He can actually take that divine light, set it afire, and then he sends us at the end of Mass, and he says, go. The Mass is ended. Or go and announce the gospel, and our lives then become a light that dispels the darkness. To get people into peace, we must get them out of darkness. The people in darkness have seen a great light, but we can only have that light when we spend time with light itself. Mm. When you light a candle, that light can be shared. We can't share the light of Christ if we don't go to Christ. And this is where adoration, this is where Mass, and this is where Eucharistic devotion comes in handy, because then we can have a life filled with thanksgiving, not just despair. And when we have that life of thanksgiving, then we can have a Eucharistic life, which is the Greek word. So let us remember to lift up our hearts so that they can be lighted with the love of God. And in that love of God, we will find inspiration. We will find the Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who will bring us and make us new.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Deacon, would you please close us with a prayer and with a blessing?
Yes. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Lord, thank you for this time to be able to lift our hearts to you. Thank you for this time where we can renew our trust in you, knowing that you are a loving God who watches over us and leads our hearts to the still waters of your love. Help us, like the waters of Lourdes, to flow out from your heart so that we can be your instrument of healing, of grace, and goodness to all we meet. And through the intercession of Saint Faustina and Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque, help us to be like them in bilocate, keeping our eyes on the Lord and our hearts in heaven. Mm. And may Almighty God bless us in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Deacon Anthony, thank you so much. Rich, so beautiful. Hope we get you back here soon.
Yes, this was a great pleasure.
Share more. Thank you. Peaceful hearts, zealous hearts. Go to EW10RC.com. Go to Deacon's website, jmjgerardmarie.com. Great information there. You'll want to learn more about all of his ministries. Let's respond. Someone's crying out to us, the priest, lift up your heart. You got to do your part. You got to say it. I lift up my heart to the Lord, and you will be transformed. God bless you and all of your loved ones. Keep it on EWTN. Bye now.